Thanks for joining us for the Word for Life radio ministry this morning. It's always a joy to have you with us. It's always our prayer that the Lord will just say something to your heart to get you ready for today, to just put a song in your heart, help you to understand that this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And with us in the studio again are our senior pastor and his wife, Ken and Kathy Keltner. And Kathy, I just want to ask you to give us just a few thoughts concerning how the Lord worked in your life, concerning full-time Christian ministry and becoming a pastor's wife, because we've got a lot of mothers that are listening to our broadcasts, and God has given them some daughters. And these are some things that maybe God could begin to put a special burden in their hearts concerning training their daughters to at least be open to the Lord if God were to call them into some area of full-time Christian service.
I remember sitting in a junior high girls' Sunday school class, and the youth pastor's wife was our teacher. And we thought the greatest thing that could ever happen to us would be if we married a youth pastor.
Yeah, well, how
and
about
you
that?
Did, didn't you?
And I did. I am probably the envy of all those girls. They just don't know what it's really like. So,
which is always good, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Always. I didn't marry a man. I married a sermon illustration. I think our entire lives have been stories and trials so that he'll have sermon illustrations.
Isn't that a blessing?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. When I was young, this was with the time that the Chatty Cathy doll came out.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I don't think I ever had one, and my brothers tell me that it's because I was the original. So
God love them.
Yes. So I grew up quite a chatty type girl, and as Ken said in an earlier broadcast, I was always busy, too busy, couldn't sit still, pulling my gloves off one finger at a time, sitting them in my lap like I'd seen ladies do, putting them right back on. And then, you know, probably talking when I shouldn't be. I do remember the Lord convicted me somewhere along probably 6th, 7th grade about talking during church and writing notes. And his dad would be one to call us down. In fact, I remember as teenagers, I know that we weren't part of the ones that were talking, but he called all the teens that were sitting back in an overflow room to come move to the front of the church. So his dad wasn't afraid to get on to us during those services.
Right.
And that was probably my group back there in the back.
It probably was, and I took the brunt of it as well, as usual. So I've gone from being quite a chatty type girl and probably scared Ken off his whole life with that, being a little possibly domineering and take charge type person. I am a can-do person. Mm-hmm. Ask me to do something, I'll figure out a way to do it. I just don't think that I've been able to master anything. I am one of those, instead of jack-of-all-trades, jill-of-all-trades. I can do everything pretty well. I can play the piano. I started taking lessons probably around 1st grade. I won a spelling bee. I've taken voice and piano even through college. So there are a lot of hats that I can wear. I just seem to have flaws, though, along the way and can't master any of them. Every time I play an offertory, there will be a mistake. It won't be in the same place each time. When I sing, I can stumble over some words or insert maybe a different word. Of course, our favorite was Ken and his solos. We have several stories on him inserting, I think it might have been a whole new tune in the midst of a song, but
absolutely,
yes, but he was willing, which is great.
I was willing to do whatever God would want me to do, and I was youth and music at a church
four
in
years,
Oklahoma.
For four years.
Yeah. A big choir, and my mom made me take voice lessons, too. Usually my buddies were wanting to know what I did with the money.
Oh,
you know,
burn.
You know, so I was a little over my head, and I feel over my head right now, too, and everything that God's asked me to do. I think God wants us to be in that point. He wants us to be totally dependent
on him.
And,
yes.
And that we can't take credit for any abilities or whatever that we might have. And so here I am leading music, and the pastor said, "Now, we want you to do some solos." And this church, they like to use accompaniment tracks.
Sure.
So you could have orchestration, and we didn't have an orchestra. We weren't like Brookside.
Right.
And my mom had sent me a song with a track, and I think the song was "Only One Life." You know, what's done for Christ will last. I only have one life.
Right.
Well, I think in the and the way it was laid out, I think you were to go from the first verse to the chorus, second verse to the third verse, and then the chorus.
Right.
I think I did first verse, chorus, second verse,
chorus.
So when it's back on the actual verse of the song, not only did I forget the words, but I actually had to start making up my own tune.
Well, you didn't go off pitch. You stayed on some sort of pitch that might have made sense, I guess.
Well, if I did, that was all of the Lord because there was there was absolute deer in the headlight look. Total fear. I remember when that hit.
Now, Kathy, you were listening to this.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. He made me quite nervous because I had more musical training than he had.
Okay.
In fact, I think it was my aunt that gave you voice lessons for several years.
Yeah, your aunt
bless
did.
Her heart. Mm-hmm. She did her best with you. And then we've sung several duets at weddings and funerals, and, you know, we can do quite well as long as we probably rehearse and stay on the
practice, same page.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And practice.
Mm-hmm. And that I don't try to go to a whole new tune.
Right. Okay.
In fact, when we were going on a missions trip, I remember the boys were singing in Spanish, and every time they'd have practice, they'd change rooms on me. I couldn't find the rooms to practice.
He thought it was on purpose, but it wasn't.
Yeah. It probably was on purpose.
My son would say, "Dad, I mean, you sing so loud, and you don't really know Spanish that well." So anyway, they would usually try to break away. So I have been very humbled in ministry, Pastor Greg. I've had my share of making a lot of mistakes and saying, "Lord, I don't know how you can use me, but just help me to keep my eyes on you."
But we're both willing, and I think that's important. And our boys have seen us in various ministries, and they're not afraid to tackle most all of those as well. In fact, they will call regularly and say, "Thank you for teaching us." Sometimes it'll be attention to detail. Sometimes it'll be not just noticing small things, even the outside of the building as well as the inside of the building.
And people, you know. I mean, I hope if anything we do with our boys is that they love people, they're focused on people. And, you know, I know they've been concerned, well, you know, if this person walks in a church, will they be accepted? Will people go up and talk to them? And,
right, right.
And I think one of the greatest things a church can do for someone coming into their church is to, number one, be a friendly group of folk, and then also have a vital worship service.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, someone asked me when we were visiting with them, Kathy and I had a time with this couple over dinner, I think, and they asked me, they said, "Does Brookside, do you guys target ethnic areas?" And I said, "No, why do you ask?" They said, "Well, we were over in Romania. Her husband was working for GE, and our church, we had like 23, 24 nationalities, and we thought we were in heaven. And they came back to northeastern part of the United States, and they were in another church, you know, 24 nationalities. And they said, then we went to North Carolina, and we were in a church, and everybody looked like us."
Right.
And they said, "Then we came to Brookside, and hey, we felt like, hey, man, this is how heaven's going to be."
Sure, yeah.
"With all the different nationalities." And I said, "No." I said, "The only thing I can tell you is we love people. You know, we want to encourage people and a lot of times love people." And so a lot of times when folks know they're loved, they go back and tell their friends, "I'll tell you a place you can go and be loved."
That is so true. And as we see people being loved, we're able to just kind of watch the Lord just work in an awesome way. Because it's like you said, Pastor Ken, the word gets out. There's a place where you can be loved for who you are, regardless of where you've been or what you've done. There's a place where you can be totally loved.
We want to help people grow in their walk with God.
One of the most exciting things, I think, in the ministry is when we do talk to other people. Three times during this past mission conference, even, I talked to ladies who were already sharing the gospel with someone. So missions has become very much a part of their lives, and they're always looking to see who in the church might be visiting or who they can bring. So they were sharing with me witnessing opportunities they had had recently with their neighbor, and then one with a friend, one with a family member. They'd had people over for a meal and were trying to establish relationships and talk through the Word of God. And so they'll ask, you know, what else can I share? Or how can I get started in this conversation? I've been talking to my neighbor about church, and she doesn't see the importance of it. So what could I say? So
right.
It's exciting. Almost every week, someone is coming up and sharing those opportunities with us.
Yeah. And I love seeing our folks have that burning passion for the gospel. I mean, that's probably what excites me and encourages me the most at Brookside.
Tell us about EE.
Well, Evangelism Explosion is just a program, a plan of teaching folks how to share the gospel. So there's a method of how you share the gospel. And I always tell folks there are a lot of different methods, you know, that are biblical in sharing the gospel. You know, Evangelism Explosion doesn't have the market on how you share the gospel, but it just is a very good discipleship tool and plan to share the gospel. I tell folks all the time, I don't want to really argue methodology. I will argue missionology.
Mm-hmm.
Our mission is we're to be out there sharing. And it's just a way that we can take folks and let them go out and watch us share the gospel. And they're working on a presentation of the gospel. And we're all on the same presentation of the gospel. And so we work together. And we have trainers. I don't think I've ever been in a church that has had such great, I'll use the word great, trainers than at Brookside. And so we take the folks out and we share with them how they can share the gospel. And then we let them, you know, we're going to turn it over to them to share the gospel. And so there's accountability in it. And, you know, we do a little bit of testing with it. And it's not an academic. We're not wanting to make it an academic class. We're wanting to make it something practical, but help them really commit to their heart a way that they can share the gospel with people.
And this is something that is not just on a particular night of the week when that team goes out, but this is to be aware of every opportunity that arises throughout the course of their week, wherever they are.
Yeah, we want to see folks make it part of their life.
Right.
You know, the life message of the gospel, God allowing me to touch someone else's life.
Exactly.
And Kathy has been committed to that with me, with the gospel and with the evangelism ministry. And we've been doing that for probably about 16, 17 years.
Okay.
And that is one ministry that I will always want to be a part of at Brookside.
Right. And that's what makes our church exciting, because anytime people get saved, it's like a new baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and new babies always attract attention, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Where there's new life, there's new excitement. Well, our time is up. I trust the Lord will just take some of these thoughts, challenge your heart, maybe even challenge your church, and cause it to be an evangelism explosion wherever you are. So until the next time, we trust that God will bless you in a fantastic way.